Brother Jerry, please offer prayer on the discourse.
Holy Father in heaven, we thank thee for coming into thy sacred presence with prayer on the provision and advocacy of thy dear Son Jesus. At this season of the year, we are so mindful of his great sacrifice and our privilege to walk in paths that he walked, and anxiously looking towards the blessing of all mankind, relief from the grave, the hope of life. Help us to continue to follow his way and finish this sacrifice. So now we are grateful for this convention. We're thankful for the words of truth and life and the spirit which has so blessed thy people. And we seek that continued blessing now in this service and ask thy watch care over Brother Mark, the fruits of his studies, and the words of his mouth, that we may grow together and learn together and be more committed and devoted in this narrow way. So we seek thy blessing upon this hour, upon our continued fellowship on sacred things. We leave our lives and this hour in thy loving care, in the blessed name and merit of thy Son Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Lovely prayer, inspirational, joyous. So this hour we are privileged to have Brother Mark Chastain. And he has chosen as a subject, Four Winds Revisited. Four Winds Revisited. Brother Mark, please.
Can everyone hear me?
No, Brother Mark, we have no audio yet.
Okay, can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
All right, sorry about that, brother. Apparently I was muted.
No worries, thanks for checking.
Brethren, we certainly missed the time when we were out in Seattle where we would, we had a wonderful blessing with the brethren out there. And we miss the days of getting together and laughing together, arguing together, and really having growing appreciation of the brethren in Seattle. We're very happy to be with the brethren today. And our topic today, we were drawn to this by the events of the earth. And why this subject? We looked at this many years ago, put together a compendium of all the things that Brother Russell had written on the subject, and had spent a great deal of time looking at it many years ago. We'd given some talks on it and whatnot, but we are really drawn back to it again with what we're seeing in the earth today. Specifically, we're going to concentrate a little bit on the Revelations 3:7-3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees. Now, why are we going to kind of focus in on that? Well, the reason being is that this is the area in which is the trigger. This is when the winds can be let loose, when they can hurt the earth, the sea, and the trees. So if we see things that are happening along those lines, we might have an indication of where we're at in the stream of time. Now, there are various views on this subject, and we are under no illusion that we will bring all the brethren together on a certain view, nor do we wish to. We all are looking on our watchtower for what we can see. Every one of us are looking at the events of the earth, trying to fit them into the scriptures. And this is, so what we will present today is basically just that, trying to fit things in that we see are the four winds. We have held for a long time the four winds were future. We're now wondering if we're not seeing them start up now. And that's the reason for this talk. We believe that in prophecy, we should not be dogmatic. Now, if a person believes that it's already been fulfilled, well, that's a different matter. And people really need to look at their consciences in that. But and we should never break our belief that if we have something that's true, then we should stick to it. But if we have the opinion it's in process, or it's about to happen, or happen in the future, we would encourage us not to be dogmatic, but to look at the prophecies in the light of what's happening. As some of the brethren says, our prophecy should be looked at in the light of what's happening outside. Finally, one of the real true blessings we have received in the study of this topic is the fact that Brother Russell was so prescient in what he had to say. I have found so many gems in his writings that fit with what's going on in the earth so much today, that explain so much of what we see around us today. More on that, but we think that that is an indication of how we get ourselves sealed. Now, we're going to make some assumptions, and the assumptions that we're going to make are around Satan and the evil spirits. So, first off, we're going to make the assumption that Satan had to learn. Satan came from an environment in heaven where there was no sin. He created lies. That was his invention. Did a real good job. If you can say anything, Satan's a good liar. So if we want to say something positive about Satan, you can say he's a really good liar. Perfected it. We think that if we look at Sodom and Gomorrah, if we look at what happened after the flood, before the flood, excuse me, all these things were learning experiences for Satan with sin. He learned that there was a limit to how much sin that a society could handle. We think he played around with polygods or many gods in a society and found that didn't work very well. He tried it with the Egyptians, obviously, the Greeks. It didn't work out for any of those. Satan was struggling because he still was trying the same thing with the Romans. And of course, that wasn't working either. But when he saw Christianity, when he saw the devotion of not just one or two prophets, as we see in the Old Testament, but when he saw hundreds and hundreds of people reflected the Christ character of not giving in to sin, of being able to control themselves, he knew he had a winner there. And that's why he took Christianity and perverted it into the papacy. And it was his masterpiece. He learned that morality was important, but that he had to wrap it around the message of Christ because it was so powerful. And thus the basis of the papacy, and thus his great and awful masterpiece. It was indeed a masterpiece. Things were going fairly good for Satan. He did what he could. The Reformation, he'd finally got that back in the can to a certain extent. The American Revolution was a problem for him, but he was working on that also by Southern United States, of making it more Catholic and bringing Catholics into the Southern United States, which had an effect in the Civil War also. But he was trying to turn that around. But 1799 devastated Satan. We didn't realize how much it had. Brother Russell discussed this a little bit in the third volume, The Loss of the Papal States. There's a book that we came across called God's Banker, The History of Money and Power at the Vatican. I wouldn't suggest reading the whole thing. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But the first 70 or 80 pages talk about the effect of 1799 up until 1920 on the Catholic Church. It was devastating. At one point in time, they had to go to the Jews, the House of Rothschilds, to get money just to survive. So in 1799, we first have this papal the papal disintegration of the respect in the world by what the Pope dying in prison, the effect of the Bible societies in the 1800s and the 1840s, especially what effect that had on them. He was on his heels. He couldn't get the papacy back where it needed to be, and he was working hard on it. And then to top it all off was 1874, and our Lord shows up. Now he's in trouble. So now he's fighting our Lord. He's fighting the financial problems of the papacy. He's fighting the societies. And we believe that at that time, the evil spirit started to say, well, maybe this guy doesn't have everything it takes. And then in 1914, we believe it got even worse for him. Because now our Lord is saying, okay, now I'm starting to take these nations from you. So we believe that Satan has gone through this. And as this has happened, I think we'll see that the evil spirits have split off from him to a larger and larger extent as time went on. Now, before we go into this subject, we're going to talk a lot about the events of the earth. And we would like to start putting some context or some things that are important for us to realize what's going on right now. This was a great help to me. First off, in Isaiah 34:2, it says, "For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter." Now, we think this started in 1914, but it's important to note that the Lord is going after nations and organizations. Very important. Again, in Zephaniah 3:8, "Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured by the fire of my jealousy." I'm sorry we didn't get the color on the font correct there, but hopefully you can read that. Brethren, again, he is emphasizing, it is my job to go out to the nations. And our job has to be the same. Not that we go after nations, but how we approach things. And Brother Russell in the fourth volume, I think, really sums this up well. He says, "Bear in mind the difference between national judgment and individual judgment. While the nation is composed of individuals, and individuals are largely responsible for the course of nations, and must and do suffer greatly in the calamity of which befall them, nevertheless, the judgment of the world as individuals will be distinct from its judgment as nations." Now, this is important. When we talk about things of the earth, we are not to judge and say that person's evil or that person's horrible, so on and so forth. There's an old saying, don't ascribe to malice what could be stupidity. And it is true that there are a lot of stupid things that are going on. People are making mistakes that are unrighteous and have proven through history that it does not work over and over again, and yet they're trying it again. So it is rather insane, as Albert Einstein said, the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. They are trying the same thing over and over again, hoping for different results, and it's not working. But we do not want to attribute to any of the Lord's, the world's leaders, malice and hatred. We can only do that in the kingdom when we'll have the tools to be able to judge. We should not judge before the time. The second thing we want to talk about as we approach this is a quote from Shakespeare. He says, "All of the world is a stage, and all of the men and the women merely players." Now, why would we bring that up? Brethren, we're watching a movie. So in a movie, you have to write a script. You're going to hire a director. You're going to do a lot of the things, but this is from a high level. You're going to have a villain. You're going to have a hero. And then you're going to play the movie for the audience so they can see it. All right? Well, in our case, God's plan is a script. It's already been written. It's already set in place. It's going to happen. It's a movie. It's already been determined. It's not going to have twists and turns that haven't already been accounted for in the plan. Christ is our director. He's got it all taken care of. Satan and the evil spirits are the villains. And our hero is Christ, our risen Lord. And the world we are in is this movie that's playing. So we shouldn't get upset when we see things. We shouldn't get worked up. I know it's hard, but we should just accept the fact that this is just a movie. It's just playing out to God's script. And somehow, we'll find on the other side how God does it, somehow he can control events and not interfere with a person's free moral agency. That's true wisdom. Let's get into our text for today. And of course, as you know, it's Revelation 7, 1 through 4. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. And the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till I have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of the tribes of Israel. So in this text, we have several players, and we're going to go over the basics of the four winds and also some of the deep part of it also, to kind of go through what is being talked about here. We're going to concentrate on the players, and we're going to concentrate on one of the specific players that are involved. So who are the players? Well, we have the four angels. These four angels are holding things back. We have the four corners of the earth, the four elements of society. We have the four winds themselves that are part of this discussion. We have the earth. We have the sea, the trees, and the servants of our God. These make up the elements of this scripture. So let's just briefly go through each one of these. The four angels. The four angels is symbolic of God's restraint. God is holding these back. And how is he doing that? Well, we think he does it through circumstance. We think he has certain things he brings into play. Maybe he has, he foils people's experiences, so on and so forth. And he can do it in a very simple manner. Let me give an example. In the Battle of Midway during World War II in the Pacific, the Japanese actually found the American carriers, and had they been able to radio back that they had found them, they would have probably destroyed the American carriers. But someone had put a broken radio into the scout plane. They couldn't call back. So they had an hour out, or 5 hours out and 5 hours back. And when they finally got back, it was too late. So one little thing like that, a broken radio, can have a big effect on earth's affairs. So the Lord can bring a circumstance in to foil the evil spirits and their activities. Events. Our Lord has events of truth. He has events of activity. He has events of the church. All these things can have effect on Satan's, on the evil spirit's ability to have an effect upon the earth. Divine power. We know that God's not going to hold back if something's going to happen that needs to be taken care of. And finally, actions that are not required, because current actions are working on behalf of the evil spirits. Sometimes when things just work, then they don't touch them. And this was an interesting thought that we gleaned from Brother Eugene Burns' talk on the four winds. He brought this up as saying, look, if they've got something that works, they might just keep doing it. And the Lord allows that to happen, and it restrains back where they really want to go. So that's the four angels. The four corners of the earth, what are they? Well, you have the society corner. You have the financial systems. You have the religious systems, and finally, you have the government. Society we'll talk about a little later, but it is basically what holds the glue of the world together. There's an old saying of a man comes into the king and says, the people are revolting. He says, well, they certainly are. But what was really going on was that there was a revolt going on, and he was in trouble, and he didn't realize it. The thing that leaders fear the most is a mass uprising of people. And we know that's going to happen. But that's one thing that is supposed to be not damaged. All right. Let's talk about the four winds. What are the four winds? Well, let's quote from Brother Russell in a reprint. He says, "These winds or powers of the air held in restraint represent the fallen angels, whose prince is Satan, the prince and power of the air. Our thought is that evil angels will long ago have done injury to the symbolic earth, the sea, and the trees, had it not been for design, the restraint of divine power." Reprint 48:22. Also, he brings out, "Apparently God will soon cease to restrain the fallen angels, and they will then proceed to vent their fury upon humanity, so that the whole earth will full of violence, the same as in the days of Noah, as it was in the days, so as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." Reprint 54:69. All right, so the four winds are these evil spirits, and we're going to concentrate a little bit upon them today. It is not Satan, it is the evil spirits that are loosed from him. Okay. The earth, stable society. This is an important thing for everything, if you think about it. And look around us today of what's happening in some of the major metropolitan areas, such as San Francisco, other places in California, in New York City, and whatnot. The stable society is starting to look more different than we thought it was. People just go in and take what they want from a store. There's no repercussions. A stable society or a people is not concerned with the future or the past. They just live in their lives. As the Caesars used to say, give them bread and circus and they'll be happy. Give them entertainment and food. And this has been like that for many years. That's changing. No earthquakes, no big societal issues. We think this is starting to change also. Then we have the sea, and it is different from society in the fact that this is the individuals and their approach to things. This is at an individual level. A sea is made up of very many, many, many small droplets of water. And when a sea is calm, you have a law-abiding society. Everybody's okay. They're not in protest. It takes individuals to get angry to create a protest. It takes individuals to get angry to create a riot. And that is the difference between the sea and the earth. The sea is the individuals in a group. The earth is society. In other words, the trends of society and what's the mood of society as a whole. And finally, the sea is one that's not sleeping, but they've woken up completely. The trees. Well, the trees are believers. That doesn't mean they're consecrated believers. They could be children of the consecrated. They could be people in the world that believe in God. They are trees, and they're people that love God. They may be deceived on certain doctrines, but also, as a wide breadth, we call these the household of faith. People that are approaching the tabernacle, people that are in the court, people that are milling around, but also the any believers, as it were. But this also, we think, includes the great continental flock. All right. Finally, we have the servants of God. We think, in reality, this is the little flock this side the veil. This differentiation between the trees, God said, we're not going to mess with the brethren until they get themselves sealed in their forehead. So leave them alone. And that's what they've done. So those are the players that we have in this drama that we're discussing. Now as we know the players, let's look at one of these players in depth, and that's the evil spirits. What are the characteristics of these winds, the evil spirits? Well, going from Jude, we're going to go to Jude 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. Now, this is important. Jude is identifying who we're talking about. It is the demons. They left their own habitation They're now in Tartaroo. They can't get out. Under darkness, they can't materialize until the judgment of the great day, which we are in now. It's not just specifically the great day, the 1,000 year, but it's their time of judgment, which we think is can be a little different. It grows, we think, as time goes on. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, the apostle really, really jams an awful lot into one sentence here. He brings up Sodom and Gomorrah, which was known for their disgusting, perverted actions, and the cities about them that participated, that sent them food and whatnot in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, strange flesh, which is a very wide topic, are set forth as an example, suffering vengeance for eternal fire. Okay. Likewise, also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. They cause people to defile their flesh in many, many ways. We are seeing that more prominent in our society than we ever have before. There was an individual in Canada, and he felt like two of his fingers should be removed because he felt like he should be an amputated person. And the doctor chopped him off. That's a defilement of the flesh. They despise dominion. They despise the fact that Jesus is in charge. And they speak evil of him. They speak evil of anything they can get their hands on. They speak evil of. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. So that's what we've got. Now, Brother Russell in Reprint 4609 goes through a great deal of detail for us. We're going to read it, and then we're going to go through a little bit of the detail ourselves to make sure that we can fully grasp what he's saying here. They have diverged from Satan. I think Revelations 20 and 2 is a proof of that. As to what constitutes the house of this strong man would be another matter. His house here would stand for his household, which at present time would include the fallen angels. These fallen angels who have been subject to Satan as their prince will, in some sense of the word, be thrown out of harmony with him. The time at which we might expect this would be the second presence of our Lord, and it would seem that from that time our Lord's parousia, disorder began to operate in Satan's household, and that these different endeavors that we see in many quarters to carry out certain schemes, more or less antagonistic to the one or the other, might be the result of this disorganization. It would further seem that there are different bands of evil spirits working upon humanity. These various hostile bands may work a great deal of havoc, perhaps equally as much as could have been done had they all remained an organized relationship to Satan himself. But still, the undermining or overthrowing of his authority seems to be in progress. We believe that every advanced step of light and knowledge is that much of a restraint upon darkness and evil and superstition. We properly enough speak of the chains of superstition, the chains of darkness, which bound mankind for a long time. And very properly, we say these are of the adversary. All right, a lot of words there, a lot of concepts in it. We're going to go through them in detail here. So our first one is, as to what constitutes this house, so on and so forth, but Satan will, in some sense of the word, be thrown out of harmony with him, these evil spirits. This is important. These fallen angels will have been subject to Satan as their prince, will, in some sense of the word, be thrown out of harmony with him. Now, let me give an example of this disharmony that we can see around us. Let's take a look at the issue of abortion. Now, in our mind, abortion is an evil that's pretty gross. But when I was a kid, and I'm maybe brethren can look back when they were growing up, who were the groups of people that had the most kids in school? In other words, who were the biggest families that you can remember? It was always the Catholics and the Mormons, at least for us, that's how it was. This is really a smart move on the case of Satan. He's building his organization, he's building his church from the family unit. Very smart idea. So he was very much opposed to anything like abortion and birth control. In fact, they fought it for many years in birth control. Abortion, he is opposing it. Well, then how come that it's being pushed? We think the evil spirits are pushing the abortion, and Satan is fighting them on it. An example of how they are thrown out of harmony with him. Another example we would put forth, and that is communism. Communism is opposed to religion, has been, since Lenin and Stalin came up with this idea. Excuse me, not Stalin, but Lenin. And what we see is that this was fought since day one by the Catholic Church and was finally overthrown in Poland because of the Pope and Reagan. So we see that their fight is out in the open in these cases. They fought against each other on this. They were diametrically opposed. As Brother also says, they will be thrown out of the word, to be thrown out of harmony with him. They are not harmonious right now. Let's move on. The time in which we might expect this to be the second presence of our Lord, and we think it was. Satan was so busy with all the other problems that he had, of the Bible societies and of the reawakening, of the our Lord's second presence, of the judgment upon the house of on the Catholic Church. All these things so occupied him that he couldn't rein these back in, and disorder began to operate in Satan's household. And that these different endeavors that we see in many quarters to carry out certain schemes, more or less antagonistic one to the other, may be the result of this disorganization. It would further seem that there are different bands of evil spirits working upon humanity. All right, so you might have some that are doing some of this really gross things. You might have some that have gone off and started the Muslim, getting those back up to where they could be. You might see others going out and causing problems in finance. You might see some going out and causing problems in other areas. Satan's household is in disarray, and he's trying to get them back in. It's funny, if you take a look at fiat money, was never used by the papacy, ever. It was always gold and silver, always, always, always. And there is an effort now among conservative Christians to get us back to a gold standard, and it's going to solve all of our problems. Again, something Satan would go back to, because it worked during the Dark Ages, trying to push it back again against this fiat system, which has never worked. No fiat system has ever worked. And the word fiat means just because I say so as a ruler. And so they say that the money you have in your pocket is good because they say so. These various bands may work a great deal of a havoc, perhaps equally as much as could have been done had they all remained in organized relationship to Satan himself. But still, the undermining and overthrow of his authority seems to be in progress. We believe that every advanced step of light and knowledge is that much of a restraint upon darkness and evil and superstition. We properly enough speak of the chains of superstition, the chains of darkness, which bound mankind for a long time. And they properly, we say, that these are of the adversary. Again, reprint 4609 was a real eye-opener for us. Now, in our next section here, we want to be careful about some things. And that is, we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret, Ephesians 5, 11 through 12. Brethren, there are some seriously evil things that are going on. Moloch is coming back. People have been caught sacrificing children to their Moloch god. Cannibalism is coming back. And those are pretty light compared to the things that are happening around the world. It is getting very, very evil out there. And it's and primarily it's in the Christian nations. Haiti, which has been considered a Christian nation, was where this cannibalism started down there. There were restaurants in the United States where a person could buy human flesh until they were shut down. So this is the kind of thing that we're going to avoid going anything beyond that, because there are some things that make that sound like child's play that's going on. So we're going to be careful in our conversations today, and we probably aren't going to jump into some things as much as we might have otherwise. Let's go back and revisit now with that thought in mind, Jude 1, 6 through 9. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath reserved for an everlasting chains of darkness in the judgment of the great day. They are no longer under these chains of darkness. There's people that said they have seen aliens. We believe that that could be a manifestation of the evil spirits to deceive men. They have also, they could have come out and look like other people too. We don't know. But these chains of darkness have been lifted. So we should be very careful with what we see on the news, and do not believe what your eyes see. If they put a video up of one of your brethren doing something that's wrong, don't believe it until you've had a chance to talk to your brethren. And if they have a horrible thing up on the news about somebody, don't believe it. We don't have to make judgments on personalities, brethren, not in any way, shape, or form. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, brethren, the things we see about us today, homosexuality seems to be tame. It's a gross sin. But the things that are happening today make it look like, well, it's not as bad as what, you know. Let us be careful that we do not fall for that. The apostle brings up Sodom and Gomorrah for a reason. Because of the things they did there were disgusting. And we have to keep that in our mind, that these are things that are wrong. We hate the sin, but not the sinner. Because there's a lot of people that are deceived right now, that are under the influence of evil spirits. But this thing with homosexuality, we think is not from Satan, but from the evil spirits. Why do we say that? Because when Satan was in power, what did he do with homosexuals? He killed them on the spot. Under the Dark Ages, there was no tolerance for that at all, because Satan knows what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. He cannot afford to lose control of people. Same thing here. These filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Do you know that right now, the biggest illegal market of money is not drugs? It is selling humans. There is more money made on the illegal trade of humans than in drugs. Those people come, those children coming across the border. There's been so many exposés shown now that they don't know where they're going. If you want a kid, this is true. If you want a kid, all you have to do is go down to the border and say, that's my nephew from wherever, and I'm here to pick him up. And they'll say, okay, sign these papers, and you can walk away with him. No kidding. They've done it on video. People have done it. This is the kind of things that we're seeing that are happening. Finally, brethren, we want to emphasize this, Jude 1, 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. We cannot get ourselves in the middle of this problem. We can say, we are scripturally authorized to say, may God rebuke you. And that's it. To get involved with this by making comments online or getting ourselves emotionally into these things, because it's hard, especially when children are involved. But this is what we are to do. We are to say, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord take care of this in the kingdom. The Lord give you judgment. And you don't, you know what kind of judgment he gives. So brethren, as we look at this, we have to emotionally detach ourselves from this. And that is really, really hard. So how do we know this is the evil spirits and not Satan? Well, Jude calls out the demons. He calls them out, not me, not you, not anybody else. He's the one that says, hey, these are the demons and here's what they're doing. The character of these align with what Jude says and what we see today. Christians are trying to get this under control. Christians would be under Satan's control. The evils that we see today are the same evils that were talked about by Jude and that were inferred in the discussion of those that kept before the flood. Satan has not allowed this type of behavior in the past. What is Satan opposing? What does Satan oppose? Well, he opposed communism. His pope shut it down. He has opposed homosexuality in the past and deviant behavior in the past by killing people under the Dark Ages. So we can see the alignment of where they're at. His papacy went after the Muslims. So all of this we can see, the delineation between these two. Jude gives us the time of our day from our Lord's second presence onward. And they are given more freedom at this time. They have to, because they're being judged. So the Lord rebuke them, because they deserve it. Finally, Satan knows that this will result in him and them losing control. So he must stop them. That is why we're seeing the battle between left and right, between the people that are trying to get the society back and the people that are just trying to destroy the society. If you walk up to a doctor in certain parts of this world and say, I think I should have my arm cut off so I can sympathize with people that don't have arms, they will cut it off. They won't send you to a place of mental instability. They will chop off your arm. There's documented efforts that that's been done. And other body parts are being chopped off also. So this is demonic. Satan would never let that happen. Now, not because he's better, it's because he knows it doesn't work. He's still just as bad as they are. But he knows there are certain things that don't work. He learned that over time. In Sodom and Gomorrah, he observed it before the flood, and he also observed it during the Roman and the Grecian empires. They both fell because of the rampant homosexuality. He knows that. So what do we see about us today? We see wokeism. We see transgenderism. We see child abuse and children being trafficked. We see a government in collapse around the world. Over 60 countries are going to vote in new governments this year. It's going to be an interesting year. Farmers in protest. Is this the new cries of the reapers? We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. Easter replaced with Transgender Awareness Day? You think Satan would support that with the Pope? No. He's trying to drive him back to false religion, not to a new weirdness. Politicians are promoting Bibles. Others are burning them. Neither one of them believe the Bible, but it's for show. Massive light on evils of the past and present. We are digging into these and we're finding out that certain things were done that should not have been done. And that's coming to light now. Homosexuality seems almost tame to the things that are happening in the earth today. Shouldn't be. We should not allow that to get in our mind. We have to remember this is all sin that will be taken care of in the kingdom. But nevertheless, what we're seeing, is this Satan? We don't think so. In fact, we're seeing Satan fight it. The nominal systems are fighting this. All right. So first off, I messed that up, brother. Let me just go ahead and use the whole screen. What is wokeism? Now, according to the dictionary, it's usually a disparaging promotion of liberal progressive ideology and policy as an expression of sensitivity to systematic injustice and prejudices. Woke, it's slang, aware of and actively attentive to important facts and issues, especially of racial and social injustice. Brethren, these are lies. That's a lie. What is woke? Simply put, it is an ideology that seeks to justify gross and demonic-driven sin, often expressing hatred and opposition to Christ. So, as brother, previous in the conversation we had, the brethren said, "Don't listen to the media. The media says wokeism is that when it's not. It is an ideology that seeks to justify gross and demonic-driven sin, often expressing hatred and opposition to Christ." So when we get our definitions, we should be clear on them. That's wokeism. And what I wanted to bring out is they are poking fun at normal religion and at normal behavior. They are attacking the papacy head on. Satan has lost control of his house completely. So what do we see about us today from a social standpoint? Where society is starting to have real problems. As you can see here, they have these transgendered, and of course that top picture we didn't show because they were walking down the street naked. And they dress up as women. And you have this, like I said, that they go after the Catholic Church. That's wokeism. Another example of wokeism is, again, they did the same thing with the Catholic Church. And then you've got this Pride Month. And what happened to Bud Light? Bud Light got smashed. They lost a lot of market share. They lost a lot of revenue. They should have never hired that person to do that. Transgenderism is the change of one's physical appearance and or physical body to change genders. What did our Lord, what did God tell them in the Old Testament? The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on the woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination to the Lord thy God, period. Anybody that thinks they're saying, oh, I want to be nice to those people. No, we're not going to be unkind to anyone, but you have to let people know that what's going on is wrong. Now, there was an individual that went to high school with some of our kids, and he wanted to come over one night, and he came over and he had said he was now a woman and wanted to be called Athena. His name was Arthur before. I wouldn't call him that. And he knew why. I didn't have to explain it to him and spell it out, but I'm not going to play that game. Because the Lord God was clear. We should not do that. It's an abomination, an abomination. Now, if it's outside my house, I don't care. Everyone can do whatever they want. But if you come in my house, you're going to hear it. What do we see about us today from the financial situation? Well, the financial situation is out of control. Now, this is one that we put one example. There's actually, we got two examples for the financial, but there's so many examples of what's going on with the finances. According to the Financial Times, in a recent article published in June the 2nd, 2023, under the bank failures dragged FDIC insurance funds for deposits below legal minimum. At the end of March 2023, the FDIC had $116 billion in assets, which is actually absolutely nothing. It was 1.1 of all things they said they were going to guarantee, of total guarantees deposit in the United States. Since then, the cost of rescuing First Republic has further reduced this ratio. Federal law requires that the FDIC have assets equivalent to 1.35 of deposits. The FDIC says it will achieve this by 2028. It is as if they do not foresee other bank failures, which is far out from the question. All right, the current ratio is right now is 0.70. There are estimates by top CEOs and the banking industry saying there'll be 500 bank fails this year. Now, even if they're right, even if he's wrong, even if this guy is completely wrong and only five banks fail like they did last year, It will completely wipe out the deposit to FDIC. Six banks and the FDIC will not have any money to cover it, and they'll have to print, which will cause inflation even more. And that is the root of the problem that we're seeing about us today. They had an interview this week I saw of an individual that was very wealthy, and they said, what do you think about inflation? What do you mean inflation? There's nothing. Oh, inflation, that's not a big problem. And then they cut to a woman that was sitting in her car, and she had bought into this whole thing. She had the pink hair and everything, and she was crying, and she says, I'm working five jobs, and I can't make enough to survive. Five jobs, brother. I felt so sorry for that person. She had bought into this whole thing, and now she's suffering such suffer. This is something that will take the banks down, we believe, potentially. Don't know for sure. I'm not a prophet. But this is what's called unrealized gains. And let me give you an example. Let's say you have a house, and your house is worth $1,000. And you find out tomorrow that the assessor comes through and says, well, you know, there's been some problems in this area, and your house is now only worth $100. So you've lost 10%. You say, well, they've done 10, you lost 90%. Well, that's okay. I'm not going to sell it. I'm going to live here, and I'm going to have a really good time, and we'll be okay. Okay, sounds good. That sounds good. Well, let's say that a change in your life means that you have to. Now, that's an unrealized gain. That's an unrealized loss. So an unrealized loss is one that's a loss that could be potentially happening, and it hasn't happened yet. But let's say tomorrow you have to sell your house for whatever reason. Now that becomes a realized loss. And now you're going to have to take that $90 loss, a $900 loss, right? Well, in that example, it doesn't sound like a lot, but in the Xerox building in LA recently sold and was held by a bank, and it sold for $24 million. Well, that's a lot of money. Well, it sold for over $100 million 2 years ago. Someone took a $75 million loss on one building. And you'll see here, this is $700 billion in potential of losses. If they hold, if held available for sale or held to maturity. If they hold them to maturity, they're still going to lose $400 billion. But if they had to sell them today because people are wanting money from the banks, $700 billion, the banking system can't handle that. So we'll have to wait and see, brethren. We're going to talk about the religious aspect of this now. The Trump movement has become a religious movement in many, many ways. And Trump is starting to buy into that. Even Putin is quoting scriptures now in his addresses. They are turning back to religion. Why? Because it helps them. It's not because they're, you know, just wonderful Christians. It works in their favor. And a lot of people that support Trump are now religious people. This is an important part of where we're at. Does this set us up that, as Brother Russell in the foreword of the fourth volume in 1916 foreword said, first you'd have a financial collapse, and then the church would come in and say, here we are to fix it. Well, if we're seeing people in the Trump movement, which represents upwards of 90% of all Republicans, and now it is turning to about 40% of Democrats, that could be a significant number of people to turn to God, to think that their churches could fix this. We don't know. We're watching. Recently, as the brethren know, they made Easter Trans Visibility Day, or Day of Visibility. Excuse me. This man here, this Archbishop Vigano, is someone we've been watching. Why? Because him and Trump are working to fix the Catholic Church. They want to turn it back to conservative values. Will that happen? We don't know, but we find it to be very interesting that that's an activity that's going on. See, the chairman's is coming to pull my coattails, as I used to in the old days. We also see in the government, what's happening in the government? Angry farmers are reshaping Europe. They got angry with with the Germans government. So someone came along with a manure spreader and sprayed liquid manure all over the government building. That didn't stop them. So then they went out and got what's called a chisel plow, which is like a big stick of steel that comes off the back of a tractor and started tearing up roads. The government finally had to give in. In BC, British Columbia, the last few days, we've been seeing protests against global warming and global news and global food, saying the food prices are too high. They're done with it. Down in Austrian, excuse me, down in Venezuela, excuse me, Argentina, the Austrian economic, which is a belief in getting away more to the gold, as we talked about earlier with the Catholic Church, they are saying we've had enough, and he's being very successful down there. And voter registration without photo ID surges in many, many states. Why would that be the case? All of these people coming across the border, they are going to be problems. They're going to be problems. Again, the government is in trouble. Finally, in France, we see in France and also in Spain and in the UK, people are saying enough is enough. We're done with it. The government's under pressure. So what do we bring from all this then, brethren? Well, today versus last year, what can we say about today versus last year? Do people trust their banks more this year than last? I don't think so. Do people trust their government more? No, they don't. Obviously not. Are the social conditions more righteous? No, they're not. And are people more religious? They're starting to turn, but they're not yet. So what does that tell us? Does that mean that the earth is being hurt, the sea and the trees are being hurt? We think they might be, or at least they're ramping up to it. There's a battle going on. There's a battle against the items listed in Jude, the evil spirits and Satan's traditional vehicles for control, mainline churches. We see all four entities revolved in this fight: the government, the religious, the social, and financial. They're all fighting right now. We know what will be the result. Satan will be used to buffet the great company, not the evil spirits. So they are they destroyed in this fight? We don't know. One wonders. But we know that it's only Satan that takes care of the great company, according to the Apostle Paul. We have sealed our heads, have we? We know how this story ends. If we do not know how this story ends, we've sealed our hearts, our heads, excuse me, in this. Christ will win. Finally, brethren, there's also a battle going on in the Lord's body, this side the veil. There's a struggle for us to seal ourselves and others. Brother also says we have a responsibility to seal others, and that we should. It is a struggle for eternal life, for the divine nature. It is a struggle. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers and darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Brethren, we just want to end with a quote here of what our goal should be. And that's from reprint 2154. There will be a glorious welcome, a joyous greeting, and a coronation jubilee among all the heavenly hosts when the laurels of victory are placed upon the heads of all the overcoming soldiers of the cross. The heroes who nobly fought the good fight of faith, who kept the faith, fought the fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and finished their course in faithfulness even unto death. May the Lord add his blessing. We apologize to the chairman for going over, and we pray the Lord will overrule anything we might have said that was amiss.
Thank you, Brother Mark. It's a lot to mull over there. Covered a lot of ground. Well, we'll take the discussion to the break, and would forego the hymn and just ask you to close in prayer. But
dear Almighty God and our beloved Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being our Father. We thank you for allowing us to live in this time to prove ourselves that we might be part for that little flock. Please help us, Lord, to seal our hearts and our heads, and that we might be prepared for what's coming upon the earth, that we might be pleasing to you, and that we would have that those words said to us, well done, my wise and faithful servant. We do ask your forgiveness where we come short. Pray your blessing upon the rest of the convention, for we ask and we thank thee through Christ's name. Amen.